So, Paul Gale from Gap Kenya, thank you very much for joining me in the studio. Now, for those listeners who might not have heard from you before, can you briefly explain a little bit about where you spend your time and what the charity does?
Yeah, well, we spend a lot of our time out in Mombasa in Kenya. Since 2013, when we both sort of gave up our jobs to do the work over there, we've been working with street children. And just recently, we started a work with some mums and their children that live on an horrendous dump site. It's actually called Mwakirungi. It's the main municipal dump site for Mombasa. And these mums, they build their own houses. They build them out of the garbage that's on the dump site, cover them with cloths and bits of plastic to try to make them waterproof, and they're just horrendous, and they're actually in the midst of all the rubbish that's around, so it smells, there's flies, there's everything, and they live in those houses with their children. They scavenge on the dump, they eat food from the dump, if they can find anything they can sell, they will sell it, obviously buy food as well. And we just felt we really needed to start to help these mums and their children. Primarily, our role has always been to help children, but these kids, they've got mums. How
can
you
help
kids?
It's families, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely.
You can't help kids without helping the mums. So yeah, it's sort of digressed a little bit into helping families.
And Paul, it's an unbelievable way to have to live, isn't it? Just what are conditions like for these families?
Oh, they're just horrendous. And funnily enough, we've been back from Kenya just short of a week. The rainy season's about to hit, and they live in these, as I said, makeshift homes made out of cardboard and plastic and what have you. And last year, a number of them got just destroyed.
Wiped out, yeah.
Wiped out, totally. And, you know, when we say rain, it's not like the rain we get in the UK. It's like monsoon-type stuff, isn't it? We have been fortunate enough to help six of these ladies and their children by renting some small rooms that are up there. But that's really just a start because, you know, there's so many more of them. But it's funny actually because we've seen these houses and right at the beginning, a few years ago, I looked inside, but this time we did look inside and, you know, I wanted to take some pictures of where they lived versus where they were moving to. And for them, it's like they moved into Buckingham Palace. And Buckingham Palace to them is a 10-foot by 10-foot room. But it's built, it's got a roof that doesn't leak, you know. There's all sorts of diseases these people pick up.
Of course.
And you know, rightly or wrongly, HIV AIDS is still quite prevalent on the dump. So we deal with those kind of cases as well.
So can you give us a little bit of a history of the charity? When did it start? And how did it start? What made you?
It started on a holiday. Literally, you do need to be careful where you go on holiday. We just went to Kenya, to Mombasa, on a holiday in 2011. And it was beautiful. The hotel was great. We just chilled out, relaxed. But towards the end of the holiday, we thought, we've not actually seen Mombasa. And we asked the waiter to take us into the city. And it was there that we saw the street kids. They were just lying on the pavements or in the gutters. People were stepping over them, walking past them. They were totally ignored. And it just touched both of our hearts in a massive way. And we just felt that, you know, we were called by God to go out and do something to help these kids, which at the time was enormous because we didn't know anybody or anything. It's how on earth are we going to do this? Yeah. But we did. And now we have a centre which is purely for street kids to come to from the city, where they can shower, they get food, teaching, recreation. But mainly they get given lots of love and respect. And that centre is to help the kids adapt to discipline, routine.
Because, of course, they've never been in a school.
They don't have it, and they run free.
Yeah, the word wild gets used. But these kids are wild, you know, at the beginning.
But the kids that adapt and want to leave the street.
Sure.
At the moment, we only have one foster home. We have a couple, Solomon and Esther, are the foster parents to 8 children. We have kids. Well, one of our kids now is left the home. He's at university.
That's fantastic.
Mechanical engineering. I think he's in his third year.
Third of 5 years, yeah.
So we've got another one who's doing really well in high school. We've got two kids that won scholarships to an amazing primary school.
When you began this journey, did you ever believe that you'd have one of your kids going through university? Because that's a fantastic achievement.
It is, and he's an amazing kid. He's called Evans. He's lovely. But no, to be honest.
You know, you're right, Lee. You didn't. You know, you just think you'd be helping them a little bit.
Is it just one of those where you take the next challenge as it comes and he's surprised all of you?
Yeah, we just, it's a step at a time, really. And, you know, we just have an idea, oh, maybe we should do this. And we try it, and usually it works, and the kids are getting helped enormously.
So what sort of reaction do you get from the kids? Do you face a little bit of pushing back, or are they genuinely very thankful for the help they give you?
It varies an enormous amount, doesn't it? There's those that, I mean, are super, super appreciative. There are those who just take it for granted and want more, you know. People tell them stories about, like, we're making money out of doing what we do, and, you know, there's some resentment there. But by and large, when they come into the centre and they see, you know, as Christians, we, you know, we believe that God loves everybody, and he loves these children too. I mean, locally, they call them Chikora, which means vermin or garbage. And in actual fact, some of the horror stories that lie behind the abuse these kids have had to reach the street. The ones in the home are amazingly appreciative because their life's been turned upside down. It's the ones in the centre, the newer ones, that you've almost got to, in a sense, win them over, because I've also, some of them, been in homes where, again, there's been abuse. So there's a great issue with trust, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
With each individually, really. And
we do have kids that they don't want to leave the streets, and they're just using the centre as a place to be fed, wash clothes and have some fun. And that's fine.
Even then, you're still helping them.
We're there for whatever they need, really. And we always hope that one day they might see above street life and think, you know what, I need something better.
Yeah, and the other thing which is important to say, I think, is faith isn't an issue. Actually, most of the kids that come to the centre are from Muslim backgrounds. Mombasa is predominantly a Muslim city, whereas Nairobi, the capital, is recognised as a Christian one. So,
yeah, we take any kids.
The smile on the faces must make it all worth it.
Yeah. And you know what? When they're with us, they're good kids. They're not good on the streets. They do bad stuff. But when they're with us, they are. They're just kids again, and they're good kids. And they come up and they just want a hug. And that's great. And I love hugging, especially the smaller kids, you know, giving them just a little bit of love and affection, because they don't get it anywhere else.
Well, we're moving on to the next stage of Gap Kenya now, aren't we? Looking for a little bit of fundraising. Can you tell us what you're hoping to achieve?
Yeah, we need to build our own centre at the Mwakirungi dump site area. Currently, we're renting a building. It's got 4 or 5 rooms in it. It's not big enough. We've actually had to build a small little kind of mud hut for the little ones to play in, because we just don't have space for them. So to build our own place would be amazing. It would be purpose-built and obviously have loads of room for us to grow as well. And as Paul mentioned, moving these mums off the dump site into rooms, we're renting all these rooms for the mums. If we can build our own rooms, we can build them bigger than the usual size that they're made. And just help these mothers move on. We're teaching the mums at the moment to make bags, and they've done well. I've brought quite a few bags back with me that they've made, and we are going to sell them. But they're doing well, and these are just small steps on a long road, really, for them to become independent and to be able to move away from this area with their kids. We send all their kids to school. Some have never been to school. And just seeing them when they put on the uniform for the first time, you know, they're just so excited. And I just love it. The school they go to is a government school, which means it's totally overcrowded. So quite often they can only go for half a day because they split them. So the other half of the day we teach them. So we're trying to help them to catch up.
The average class size is about 70 ordinarily, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Yeah. It puts into perspective, doesn't it? Just how.
So, but no, if we can do this and help these mums move away with their kids and start to live a life that is going to, it's never going to be like we're used to in the West. That doesn't happen. It's a third world country. But just to give them something more than they're existing. At the moment, they're just existing. And we have kids that come to the centre who are sick, really sick, because they've been given meat from a dump site to eat the night before.
Contaminated, yeah.
And it's not, it shouldn't happen. It's not what we want to do. So, yeah, we're just doing our utmost to help. So we need to buy land.
Yes.
So, we'll come to Paul now. Paul, how much money do we need? And
we need,
how are we going to raise it?
Well, we need between 18 and 20,000. I think 18 would do it. And that buys an acre of land and build us a centre and maybe 6 or 8 homes for the ladies to live in. Are we going to raise it? I don't know. I mean, obviously, we would appeal to any institutions, be it churches, other charities that are there, trust funds, local businesses. We would love to appeal to the Tameside local business arena. It's worth mentioning we do get supported already by Saddleworth Rotary Club, who actually pay for the kids' educational fees.
Big help, of course.
Every year, which is phenomenal. And also, I've got to we have a friend, John, who runs Home Estate Agents, and John helps us out quite significantly in terms of funding now. And I think he'd probably help, I'm sure, with this next phase, because it'd be massive. I mean, you're not just improving lives, you're just turning their lives upside down. We've got ladies, it's not uncommon for 17-year-old girls to have 3 children. It's really not uncommon,
it's not.
Is it?
No.
And when we first began, I think there were 2 of the 12 ladies that had been to school. The rest, the 25 years old, had never been to school. So the starting point for us was to teach them how to read and write. And obviously this facility that we're wanting to raise money for would make that happen. You know, with the circumstances, we'll be a lot better in the situation to achieve what we ultimately want to achieve.
So anyone that does want to get in touch and support you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, we've got a website. It's gapkenya.com. And you can email us at info@gapkenya.com.
Yeah, .com. Yeah.
So we also have a mobile phone number that's
0794-3000-0794-3000-452.
Yes.
No, fantastic.
Yeah, and there's a Facebook page, actually, which is just simply Gap Kenya. So if people, that's how we keep up to date with what's going on over there for most, for most of our followers, really.
That's brilliant. Yeah. Wish you the best of luck. And next time you're back in the UK, make sure you call in and let us know how it's going.
Yeah,
thank you, Lee.
Thanks ever so much.
Brilliant.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.